Chapter 78. Nostromo made no answer. The other did not insist, remaining huddled upon the stool, shock-headed, wildly hairy, like a hunchback monkey. Then, after a long silence, Comrade Fidanza, he began, solemnly, "You have refused all aid from that doctor. Is he really a dangerous enemy of the people?" In the dimly lit room, Nostromo rolled his head slowly on the pillow and opened his eyes, directing at the weird figure perched by his bedside a glance of enigmatic and profound inquiry. Then his head rolled back, his eyelids fell, and the Capitus de Cargadores died without a word or moan after an hour of immobility, broken by short shudders testifying to the most atrocious sufferings. Dr. Monaghan, going out in the police galley to the islands, beheld the glitter of the moon upon the gulf, and the high black shape of the Great Isabel sending a shaft of light afar, from under the canopy of clouds. "Polizzi," he said, wondering what he would find there. He tried to imagine Linda and her father, and discovered a strange reluctance within himself. "Polizzi," he repeated. From the moment he fired at the thief of his honor, Giorgio Viola had not stirred from the spot. He stood, his old gun grounded, his hand grasping the barrel near the muzzle. After the Lancia carrying off Nostromo forever from her had left the shore, Linda, coming up, stopped before him. He did not seem to be aware of her presence, but when, losing her forced calmness, she cried out, "Do you know whom you have killed?" he answered, "Ramirez the vagabond." White, and staring insanely at her father, Linda laughed in his face. After a time he joined her faintly in a deep-toned and distant echo of her peals. Then she stopped, and the old man spoke, as if startled, he cried out in Son Guyan Batista's voice. The gun fell from his opened hand, but the arm remained extended for a moment, as if still supported. Linda seized it roughly. "You are too old to understand. Come into the house." He let her lead him. On the threshold he stumbled heavily, nearly coming to the ground together with his daughter. His excitement, his activity of the last few days, had been like the flare of a dying lamp. He caught at the back of his chair. In Son Guyan Batista's voice, he repeated in a severe tone, I heard him, Ramirez the miserable." Linda helped him into the chair, and, bending low, hissed into his ear, "You have killed Guyan Batista." The old man smiled under his thick mustache. Women had strange fancies. "Where is the child?" he asked, surprised at the penetrating chilliness of the air, and the unwonted dimness of the lamp by which he used to sit up half the night with the open Bible before him. Linda hesitated a moment, then averted her eyes. "She is asleep," she said. "We shall talk of her tomorrow." She could not bear to look at him. He filled her with terror, and with an almost unbearable feeling of pity. As he had observed the change that came over him, he would never understand what he had done, and even to her the whole thing remained incomprehensible. He said with difficulty, "Give me the book." Linda laid on the table the closed volume in its worn leather cover, the Bible given him ages ago by an Englishman in Palermo. "The child had to be protected," he said, in a strange, mournful voice. Behind his chair Linda wrung her hands, crying without noise. Suddenly she started for the door. He heard her move. "Where are you going?" he asked. "To the light," she answered, turning round to look at him balefully. "The light? S.I. duty. Very upright, white-haired, Leonin, heroic in his absorbed quietness, he felt in the pocket of his red shirt for the spectacles given him by Dona Emilia. He put them on. After a long period of immobility he opened the book, and from on high looked through the glasses at the small print in double columns. A rigid, stern expression settled upon his features with a slight frown, as if in response to some gloomy thought or unpleasant sensation. But he never detached his eyes from the book, while he swayed forward, gently, gradually, till his snow-white head rested upon the open pages. A wooden clock ticked methodically on the whitewashed wall, and growing slowly cold the Garibaldino lay alone, rugged, undecayed, like an old oak uprooted by a treacherous gust of wind. The light of the Great Isabel burned unfailing above the lost treasure of the Santome mine. Into the bluish sheen of a night without stars the lantern sent out a yellow beam towards the far horizon. Like a black speck upon the shining panes, Linda, crouching in the outer gallery, rested her head on the rail. The moon, drooping in the western board, looked at her radiantly. Below, at the foot of the cliff, the regular splash of oars from a passing boat ceased, and Dr. Monaghan stood up in the stern sheets. Linda, he shouted, throwing back his head. Inda. Linda stood up. As he had recognized the voice. Is he dead? She cried, bending over. Yes, my poor girl. I am coming round, the doctor answered from below. People to the beach, he said to the rowers. Linda's black figure detached itself upright on the light of the lantern with her arms raised above her head, as though she were going to throw herself over. It is I who loved you, she whispered, with a face as set and white as marble in the moonlight. I. Only I. She will forget thee, killed miserably for her pretty face. I cannot understand. I cannot understand. But I shall never forget thee. Never. She stood silent and still, collecting her strength to throw all her fidelity, her pain, bewilderment, and despair into one great cry. Never. Guyan Battista. Dr. Monaghan, pulling round in the police galley, heard the name pass over his head. It was another of Nostromo's triumphs, the greatest, the most enviable, the most sinister of all. And that true cry of undying passion, that seemed to ring aloud from Punta Mala to Azura, and away to the bright line of the horizon, overhung by a big white cloud shining like a mass of solid silver, the genius of the magnificent Capitis de Cargadores, dominated the dark gulf containing his conquests of treasure and love. End of Project Gutenberg, a text of Nostromo, by Joseph Conrad. NSTRM by Gutenberg Edition.